We are all broken vessels, shattered and fractured by the wrath of this world. Yet we are the vessels. The church is the container by which God seeks to provide the world with the living water of salvation in Jesus Christ. How can this leaky vessel carry the good news of new life to our broken world? I often ask myself, isn't there anyone else more qualified, more capable to do the transformative work of Jesus Christ in 2017? You may ask yourself that same question. You may feel the push and the call and the urging of God to move and to act in this world. But every time we do so, we feel like we are ill-equipped, that we don't have the ability or the perseverance, that we are so broken that it is difficult to contemplate that God can use us. The brokenness of humanity causes us to disbelieve the call of God in our lives. But God uses people. To quote David Wilkerson, God uses people to perform his work. He does not send angels. Angels weep over it, but God does not use angels to accomplish his purposes. He uses burdened, broken-hearted, weeping men and women. He uses us. There's no one else. Look around you. Among these people are the ones whom God has called. Among these people are the ones who are willing to say yes to God. Notice that I say among, because many of us have heard the call, yet we refuse to carry God's water. Notice the words that I used. We often use carrying God, you know, we carry someone's water. Have you ever heard that term? It's kind of a word of derision, isn't it? It's an understanding that you're doing the bidding of someone else. Someone that may not want to get themselves dirty to do the work. And yet, that's what our call is. Our call is to carry God's water into the world. And we are the vessels that God is using. But oftentimes, I think of the leaky vessel that I am, much like a colander trying to carry water. You know what a colander is? You know, it's one of those things that you empty your pasta into to get the water out. It holds everything but the water. And in most of our lives, that's what ends up happening. God fills us and we immediately pour it out onto the ground. Something has to change in us for us to be able to be used by God. Over the last several weeks, we've been talking about this transformation, the change that needs to take place. Last week, we discussed Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a wise man. He was a good man. He was a godly man. He was a Pharisee, a teacher of the law. He was well made. His problem was that he did not seek to be transformed into the image of God. He thought all he needed was a slick coat of new paint and that God could use him. But Jesus told him that in order for him to be utilized by God, in order for him to be made whole, he had to be born again, born of water and the Spirit. He had to be made new, transformed by God for God's use. Nicodemus was confused and confounded because the transformation of God confounds and confuses even the best of us. This week, we look at a Samaritan woman who Jesus met at a well in a city that had been abandoned by God, or so the Jewish people thought. A place that was outside of traditional Israel. A place that was so broken that the people of God, though they knew who God was, no longer heard God's voice. A place that had a muscle memory of God, but not a full relationship. Samaria and Sychar are our cities in America today. It had so much in common with the world of today's world. Broken people living broken lives where their relationship with God was their ancestors' relation, not their own. I can't tell you how many people tell me that their grandmother went to church and they identify their church as the church of an ancestor. Many of your family members have a church that they identify with, but they haven't been in. They're the woman who went to the well. She went to the well at noon. And it's an interesting thing because most people got their water in the morning. But scholars tell us that this woman went at noon to the well because she wanted to make sure she didn't run into anybody else in the community. This was a broken and wounded woman. Jesus reveals to her that she has no husband. She's had five. And the one that she is with currently isn't her husband. This is a woman who's been used and abused by her world. She's been divorced five separate times. The woman that was divorced five separate times in those days did not instigate the divorce. It's important for us to recognize this. This is a woman that has had no power or authority in her life. In those days, the man held all of the power. She couldn't even own a house. She had two opportunities. She could either live with a husband or a man that would take her in, or she could live with her parents or a sibling. If she had neither husband nor parents, she was left alone. This is why widows and orphans were so important to take care of in the days of Jesus and of Paul. Why? Because there was no social safety net. There was no one to take care of them. And if they had no family, then they had no one to champion their rights. So this was a woman who had been released from marriage five separate times. As she grew older, she became more and more desperate. After she was released from marriages, she would seek out anyone who would call her and take her in. This is a woman who was on the fringe, at the margins of society. We often would say that this is a woman of ill repute, and of course she would have been seen in those ways, but it wasn't her fault. It wasn't her doing. Her actions didn't put her into this place, and it needs to be recognized. She was a woman who was fractured and shattered by the social conditions and the lack of love and care that was surrounding her society, and it impacted her. You may know people in your world that live like this woman. They've been broken and they've been fractured. Their relationships have never been sound. They've moved from one relationship to another, each one letting her down, each one letting us down. And after a while, we simply no longer have a hope for tomorrow. We simply seek to live today. She got to the well at noon, expecting that no one would be there, expecting that she would be able to live her life in peace, and that she would be able to simply live continue to survive. And she encountered Jesus there. And when she encountered Jesus, he did something that no one would have done. A rabbi, a good Jew, asked for her to help him. Now, in those days, good Jews didn't talk to good Samaritans, even if they were good, because there was no such thing in those days. The concept that there was someone who was good or godly that came from Samaria would have been an odd thing. It's why Jesus told the parable the way he told it, to surprise and to shock, because Samaritans were considered people from the wrong side of the tracks. And yet this woman was on the wrong side of the tracks for a train that had long since left the station. This woman was really, really, really bad. Because if the Samaritans didn't want to talk to her, then you could see how low on the scale she was. Fascinating thing. The conversation with the woman at the well in many ways mirrors the conversation with Nicodemus. Both of the conversations talk about being renewed by water in the Spirit. Both of the conversations speak to something that is new that must be introduced into that person's life for them to be made whole. The two people couldn't be farther apart. The two people couldn't be more different. A educated, respected man and a broken and rejected woman. And yet Jesus gets them with the same sermon and with the same knowledge of God. You must be renewed. You must be changed. This is where we all fall down. Because most of us don't like the idea of change. You can't become a butterfly if you're satisfied being a caterpillar. And most of us don't like the idea that we have to go through a period, a place, a time of transformation. We don't like to have to stop and be renewed. Most of us don't even like to stop to eat. Let me give you a very, very personal example. Over the last several weeks, I've been sick. And I did what I always do when I'm sick. I kept going. That's what we do. I missed 2 days on a sickness that usually gives you 2 weeks worth of sick. And then I got up and I went to work. And everyone that met me said, "Boy, you look terrible." Just what I wanted to hear, right? But I did, and I felt terrible. On Friday, I shut it down. I didn't do anything. I shut it down. I didn't do laundry. Well, I did do dishes. But I didn't do the things that I normally did. And I did it intentionally because I knew I had to shut it down and reboot. I had to take the time for my body to heal. Now, the truth of the matter is I should have taken a few extra days in the beginning, and it wouldn't have hobbled me so far in the end. It wouldn't have extended the illness. But you see, we don't like to take the time to change. The idea that in order to become a butterfly, we have to go and wrap ourselves in a cocoon and sit there for a while. The idea that we have to be transformed and we don't have control over what we become. The idea that we have to go back to the shop and not act for a moment frightens us. It terrifies us. It's not just the change that spooks us. It's the idea that in order to be changed, we have to put time into it. In order to really be transformed, We have to devote ourselves to the work of transformation. We have to be dependent on someone else. Nicodemus had this problem. He didn't think he needed anybody else. And the woman at the well had this problem. She didn't think that anyone else would take care of her anymore. She'd been let down so many times that how could she allow someone to hear her story and change her life? Because everyone wanted something from her. But they didn't want anything for her. Because a woman of ill repute is not someone that anyone holds in order to fix. They only hold them in order to use them. Where are you? As God seeks to utilize you in the world today, the question is where do you stand? Are you someone who has resisted transformation because you're good enough as you are? Are you confident and in control? Or are you broken and so wounded that you don't want to let anyone in? You don't want them to see the pain and the difficulty and the cracks. You cover up the cracks with makeup and ointments, and you hope that no one notices how bad you really look and how bad you really feel. Most people in today's world avoid God and Jesus Christ because their own esteem is so low that they don't believe that they could possibly be changed or valued by God. To quote T.D. Jakes, many of us harbor hidden low self-esteem. We deem everything and everyone more important than ourselves and think that meeting their needs is more important than meeting our own. But if you run out of gas, everyone riding with you will be left stranded. You see, the woman at the well had no problem giving Jesus water because that's what she did. She understood that that was her lot in life. She simply did what people asked to get to the next step in life. She had no problem being used by people. But she didn't feel she was worthy of being used by God. Folks, around every corner and in every neighborhood, there are people that have been used by this world. They've been discarded, they've been displaced, and in many ways they've been destroyed. God is calling them. And God is calling us. God tells us that we are fearfully and wonderfully made, and no matter how imperfect we may feel, that God can transform us, fill our cracks, change our surface, and provide us and create in us the ability to carry God's living water into the world. I love the metaphor of living water. In today's world, you know, we think of carrying living water in pots and in jars. But let me tell you something. Now that we've created plastics, now that our glass people have created, you know, they know how to bend glass and move things around, water can be carried in almost anything. You can go to an amusement park and buy a 6-foot-long pop container that has 3 or 4 loops in it, and then they add a twisty straw to the top of it, right? And so you're drinking 16 ounces of soda, and you have to carry something the size of an AR-14. You know, you're one of these huge, right? You know, and in order to bring your pop anywhere, right? You can't bring it on the ride unless you lock it in a seat next to you. You know what I'm talking about. Each of you are as crazily made as those stupid slippy straws. You all have bends and twists and imperfections and changes. But here's the thing. God can fill anyone, no matter the shape, no matter the size, and no matter the twists and turns. And the beautiful thing about living water is living water is like oxygen from a fix-a-flat. Have you ever seen that stuff? The stuff that seals from the outside, from the inside out. You know, if you've got a leak in a tire, you take that fix-a-flat, you slap it in, and all of a sudden, it doesn't just fill it with the air. It seals it from the inside. It's beautiful stuff. And so's God's living water. Because once you let that living water in, it fixes you from the inside out. It transforms you as a new creature. But here's the thing, folks. You've got to say yes to God. And you've got to be willing to be changed. Most of us get close to God, but we don't have that personal experience. There's something beautiful about the Samaritans. Many of them believe because the woman said something to them, but more believe because they encountered Jesus. Now, see, this is why God needs us to carry living water into the world. Because many people will see the transformation in us and be moved. But what really changes lives are when they encounter Jesus for themselves. Our responsibility isn't just to show them our lives. And many a Christian person has made the mistake of just thinking that lifestyle evangelism is going to be enough. That it's enough just to live a good life, and then automatically people will say, hey, that person must be a Christian. I want to be a Christian too. It doesn't work like that anymore, folks. Because that worked only when the culture was so Christian that everyone knew what made you good. Now, listen to your athletes and your celebrities. They'll all tell you what made them good. And it's everything from a vegan diet to the beads that they wear around their arms or whatever weird faith or religion that they read from the science fiction writers. Right? It's Scientology, it's spirituality, it's the new diet, it's going without carbs or only with carbs, whatever it is. They're all willing to tell you why their lives were transformed. And they let them go on and on and on until they talk about Jesus. Then the mics go silent, right? I'm telling you here, folks, just living a good life doesn't make anyone change. You've got to tell them why and show them why. You also have to do something that is very, very dangerous in today's world. You've got to start learning how to approach people and get involved in the messy aspects of the lives of your neighbors and your friends. It's going to scare you at first because many of you think that the problems of this world are problems that other people have. Problems with drugs and sex and issues of that are financial or issues that destroy lives. But those issues are all taking place on our streets, in our neighborhoods, in our schools. My son John told me a story. It wasn't a story, it was real life. People were chatting and talking. And he said, Dad, he said, I almost fainted. He said, really? No, really. I almost fainted. I said, what was it, son? He wouldn't tell me who. But he said that there was a group chat, and people were talking about those who had tried heroin. And he knew some of the people on the list. And he said, "Dad, my head hit my desk." His heart broke. Because there's a lot of things that'll break your heart in this world. The only reason we don't know and our hearts aren't broken is because we haven't asked. We haven't heard. We haven't gone to the well. It's at the well that we meet the people of this world. It's at the well that we can offer living water. And it's the well that we're going to have our hearts broken by the stories of the people that have been broken by this world. But there at the well, we can offer something that can heal from the inside out, starting today. The first thing that we have to do, though, is we have to encounter Jesus for ourselves. It can't be someone else's faith that we share. Because the only way that you can truly give life to someone who needs breath is for you to breathe it into them. In the early days of the church, those who would pass on the Spirit would breathe it into someone else. Think about it as giving artificial respiration, CPR, to a person who's on the ground. Your breath gives them life. But that breath has to come from somewhere. It comes from the pneuma, the Spirit, the breath of God. And you could only give it if you have it. So today the question is will you say yes? As you look around, will you say yes to God? Will you be utilized by God? Will you be filled by God? And being filled by God, will you share God with other people? There's no one who's too good that can't be filled by God. That's what we heard in Nicodemus. And there's no one too bad that can't be filled by God. That's what we hear with a woman at the well. Somewhere in the middle you stand. Will you be filled by God? As you make that decision, as you make that determination, let us turn our hearts to the Lord in prayer. Lord God, we live in a world that's fractured and broken. Our people have been used and abused and rejected and destroyed. We walk among people who are so hurt that they don't believe anything good can come from their lives. And yet here you stand waiting to restore us. To redeem us, to renew us, to change us, to transform our lives. Lord God, we need the transformation. We need the change. Our children and our adults are filling their lives with things that would destroy them. We are parched and dry, and the road of life has beaten us down, and we must be renewed. Lord God, help us to say yes to your renewal. Help us to be transformed by your Spirit. And through that transformation, help us to be changed so that we too might bring living water, the presence of God in Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit to our friends and neighbors. Help us to say yes and to go into our neighborhoods and communities so that we might change our world. Loving God, we sit before you seeking your renewal. Send your Holy Spirit and help the Church of Jesus Christ to say yes to you and to change our world through you. And we pray it in the name of God, in Jesus Christ, through the power of the Holy Spirit. And the people of God said, amen. As we move towards Easter, it's much, much more important that we recognize that you have to be transformed. That the only way to be born of the Spirit and of water is to be renewed through the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. All life ends in death, but in Christ, death ends in resurrection. And that's what we proclaim in the church today. If you've said yes to Jesus, then I ask that you would renew your strength through the power of the Holy Spirit. Make it known to me. If you feel that God's calling you to the next step, then step forward and seek for God's blessing through the power of the Holy Spirit to make your next step. That next step might be baptism to those who haven't been baptized. It might be church membership. It might be answering the call of God in a new and a unique way in your life. But if God has provoked you to say yes, then don't be bashful about that yes. Proclaim it in Jesus Christ.